Legend Sting!
Fuck you, Lucky Charms!
Hey guys, welcome back to the Blood and Black Rum Podcast. I'm Ryan from ColdSweatation.com, and I'm joined by my co-host, Martin.
How's it going?
Hey, we're doing pretty well, and we're celebrating St. Paddy's Day, St. Patrick's Day. We are, you know, normally we wouldn't have done an episode this week. It was technically our off week, but you know what? This holiday seasons, they really get to us. We've always got to try to cram something in. We didn't do Valentine's Day.
They get to you.
Yeah, you could care less. You're like, let's not do another shitty movie for a holiday just because, right? But I wanted to get something in. We didn't do a Leprechaun movie last year for St. Patrick's Day.
I think it's been 2 years now.
Yeah, it's been a couple of years. I think we needed to take a break after we did Back to the Hood. It was just too much to handle. We just couldn't, you know, after doing what, six different Leprechaun movies.
Well, as I say, they're blending in so much now. In my head, I've been kind of Stockholm syndrome in my head thinking, like, you know what? The first Leprechaun wasn't that bad.
And ooh. So now, like, you've gone back. It's kind of like the Saw phase of, like, seeing all of the original Leprechaun movies and then going back and saying, well, you know what? There's a lot worse in the canon.
Well, you know what? I haven't seen it since we did it. You know, for the show, but in my head, I have I had totally Stockholm syndrome myself and thinking, like, you know what, that plucky Warwick Davis and young Jennifer Aniston really made something out of that one compared to the rest of this tribe.
What's it been? It's probably been like eight years since we did that or something like that.
Seven years, 8 years.
You know, I've never really been a fan of Leprechaun. I've always felt that it was really like low tier movie. So yeah, it'd be interesting to revisit it again. I think I've seen it 3 or 4 times, and I've never really liked the movie itself. And I actually have, I got like the whole collection because they just released like the whole collection on Blu-ray. So I do have it. So I'll have to revisit it and see. And we've done them all. So if you go back through our podcast history, you'll be able to find all of the Leprechaun episodes for your enjoyment.
And our pain.
Exactly. I guess. Up until now, what's been your favorite Leprechaun?
Probably either Leprechaun. It's been so goddamn long, so I don't know. Because I've only seen them, I've seen them like before we did the episodes, but in my head now, if I have to look back on my memory, like 8 years out, probably Leprechaun 1 and Leprechaun Space.
Ah, okay, Leprechaun in Space, interesting.
Well, that has local hero, the chick that stars in it. She's, you know, local hero from Amsterdam, and her next biggest role is being the big boobed weather lady on It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Jackie DiNardo.
Yeah.
Channel 5.
Now,
What about you? If you're looking back now through these nice rosy glasses of like,
it's a good question. Which one's the one that has what's his name from Mad?
Second one,
is the second one, right?
Yeah, where he has that little brief cameo.
Yeah, I think maybe Leprechaun 2 would be, I guess, my favorite. Like, because I think that one is probably one of the funniest on accident, and then also, like, legitimately funny, whereas I think, like, you know, obviously Leprechaun in the Hood and stuff like that, those are meant to be trying to be over the top funny, which I don't necessarily land with me. So I think maybe Leprechaun 2. I don't know. It's a tough decision because I don't necessarily think any of them are that good, but maybe Leprechaun 2 for me.
You're thinking of Michael McDonald, the Mad Michael TV McDonald. Treasure.
That's right. Yeah. Stuart.
And that is like probably the only thing I can think of from Leprechaun 2 off the top of my head. That and the whole... No! I just came back to me with Leprechaun 2, the kid listening to the music in his bedroom.
Yep.
You know, they're drumming away to generic 90s music. Those are the two best parts of that movie. That's like
Leprechaun kidnaps the girl, Siobhan Durkin, and like basically has her as like a concubine as well. It's great. But no, I think I would say Leprechaun 2. But that leads us to today's discussion for St. Patrick's Day, which is Leprechaun Origins, which was a 2014 like sort of reboot that they tried to do with Leprechaun, the series, which is in itself an interesting decision where you're like, you know what? We've already gone to space. We've already gone to the hood. There's not really any place else that we can go to besides like, I don't know, Leprechaun Deep Sea or something like that. You know, somehow Leprechaun jumps a submarine and
Sea Lab 2024.
Yeah, exactly. joins the Navy. Maybe it could have been an earnest collaboration, really, you know, but so basically Leprechaun Origins was an attempt to sort of reboot or like, you know, remake or whatever you want to call it. And not only that, not only was it a remake reboot of Leprechaun, it was also and we also need to say it didn't have Warwick Davis. Warwick Davis is not attached at all, which is truly ballsy when you consider that he's basically the face of the Leprechaun series entirely, and he has nothing to do with this movie. It's pretty significant. And then not only that, it's a WWE Studios movie as well. So it always reminds me, like when I used to, this was a long time ago. My wife and I were at a grocery store, and we got Newman's Own cookies, and the cashier was just like, he's got his hand in the cookies now, does he? And it always reminds me, whenever something comes up where it seems like the company should not really be involved in it, but they are, it reminds me of that saying that he's got his hands in the cookies now. And Leprechaun Origins is that hand in the cookies for WWE Studios. It's like, what the fuck are you doing? First of all, what are you doing dabbling in horror movies? And then not only that, but why Leprechaun specifically? Why?
Cheap
involved. Yeah, I guess so. The rights were cheap. They needed a rights. They were like, well, you know what, Jason, Freddy, they're out. We don't have the cash on hand for a Jason or a Freddy. So you know what? Let's buy the rights to Leprechaun. Is this this isn't the first WWE Studios movie though, is it? I think
See No Evil
is the first one. I think so. That was like from 2006.
They've been doing movies like since like I think they did the Scorpion King.
Oh, they did. That's right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that was when they were WWF at that time. Yeah. I didn't realize that. Yeah,
Walking Tall, like basically all of The Rock's first like big.
Exactly. They were like, you know what? We've got The Rock. He wants to make a transition into movies, so let's do a bunch of Rock movies. Yeah, and then See No Evil was like technically their transition into horror, really, when they were working with Lionsgate.
Which that came out in 06, so goddamn, I feel like that came out a lot later than that.
And they've still been, where are they up to? Okay, so they stopped in around 2021. They stopped doing feature films, but they still done some. Basically, like just like, you know, actual wrestling movies for television. But interesting. Yeah. So they're not, it doesn't really look like they're around again to do, you know, basic films. But
when are we getting our See No Evil survival horror game?
I know. That seems like the next up and comer. Why doesn't Dead by Daylight license See No Evil? Further.
You know, we could do the Jetsons and WWE Robo WrestleMania.
Yeah.
And there was also Scooby-Doo and WWE.
Yeah, the Scooby-Doo one. Yeah. Well, anyway, Leprechaun Origins, it's a weird combination. Weird combination. So, you know, basically, and at this time too, Lionsgate definitely has, you know, they have a penchant for releasing kind of shitty horror movies alongside their, you know, their better
Saw
series. Yeah, the ones that they actually put into theaters versus the shitty ones that they're kind of just throwing out to video. And Leprechaun Origins, I believe, was that kind of movie. It was, I think it went direct to video. I don't think it ever had a theatrical run. Maybe it did. Maybe it did. I don't know. I don't even know.
No, it definitely wasn't.
I don't think so. I don't remember it. But this is actually more of a movie that you would expect to see. And truly, actually, they did do this later on. You would expect to see this on Sci-Fi Channel. You would expect to see this be like a sci-fi original movie. And then later on, after Leprechaun Origins, they did do a Leprechaun movie, which I don't believe is actually related at all to the Leprechaun series, truly. But they did that for... And did we do it? Did we do Leprechaun Returns?
No, we didn't. Nope.
Maybe I just watched it for the hell of it one time. I almost thought we did, but maybe that was just... At some point, I watched it.
No, that's going to be our next one.
That's going to be the next one we suffer through. If I remember correctly, that one is also not good. But and not only that, it's a sci-fi TV movie. So, you know, it is what it is. But Leprechaun Origins, weird movie. Let's talk about it after we get back from talking about the beer that we got on the show today.
You know, you did answer my question, though. So I was going to say, what's worse than direct-to-video going to Sci-Fi Channel?
Yeah, I mean, at least direct-to-video, you have a chance to make some money off of that. And at that time, too, you know, direct-to-video being big back in the day, you had quite, you know, the option to, if you got a good cover, you've definitely could make it with rentals, you know,
because you just had to hook them in the Candyman.
Exactly.
Not Candyman, Ice Cream Man.
Yeah, I want to say, like, a lot of movies that really, really shouldn't be cult films, shouldn't be like heralded, are because of their cover artwork and the nostalgia factor of seeing it on the, you know, on the shelf, you're renting it. You're like, this is terrible, but I love it, you know, and you just used to watch it over and over again. And so, yeah, direct to video sometimes was not a bad thing. You know, it sounded like it, but at the same time, you could really hook people in by getting those rentals in. And it actually helped a lot of movies. Whereas going to Sci-Fi Channel, you know, you're with the likes of Sharknado.
Michael Grossman's yelling to be let out from there.
Yeah.
I used to be a credible actor. God damn it.
I'm not going to say that Sci-Fi Channel movies didn't have a place for me, at least, because I did watch them back in the day quite a bit. But, you know, it's never really a great thing. So TV in general, you know, movie going direct to TVs, not normally great to have. So. All right. On the show today, we got a beer from Sloop Brewing Company, which we've had on here quite a bit. But I wanted to do this one because it's a direct tie-in to St. Patrick's Day. Sloop does this series they call the No Series, and the No Series is basically like, I realize that during the holidays and seasons you guys like these various flavors and stuff like that. Well, guess what, this beer, this IPA, it's got none of that. So they do a no pumpkin, so it's got no pumpkin in it for fall, and they've got the No Santa, which has no cinnamon and nutmeg and clove, the spices that you'd normally associate with Christmas. And I've had both of those, but the one that we have on the show today is specific for St. Patrick's Day, and it's one that I've not had from the No series. It's called the No Green Beer, and this one is celebrating St. Patrick's Day by not coloring your beer green, which is also not an Irish tradition. So, you know, it's I guess No Green Beer is technically following the Irish tradition of just drinking the fucking beer, you know. this was a No Series. I found it in Hannaford, actually, the grocery store, and because here in New York we're blessed with having grocery stores sell beer, and I had to grab it. So, and I thought, you know what, that ties in really well with our St. Patrick's Day Leprechaun episode, so let's do it. So we got the No Green Beer on here, and as I said, it's a New England style IPA, all of the No Series is, and Unlike Sloop, which normally tells you like what hops they're using, this one doesn't really go into any detail. It just says there's hops, barley, and none of that bullshit that you would associate with the holiday. So it's not really clear what exactly is going into it. But I will say that I think that this beer, as part of the No series that I've had, so this is the third one that I've had in that series, I think this one is the best at being defining. Tastes different than the other No's, because if I remember correctly, I feel like No Santa and No Pumpkin were extremely similar in their taste, to the point where I was like, maybe they just slapped a different label on these. For No Green Beer, I definitely get a distinctive taste to it. There's definitely nice hoppy balance and a nice hazy element to it, but also there's what I am terming a nice springy sort of like vibrancy to it that really comes out and reminds me of like the cleanness of the spring season. I don't know if that's my imagination or not, but I think this one is really good. I really like this one in the No series, probably my favorite out of the bunch that I've had. And I'm glad I got to try it. So it's really good beer for St. Patrick's Day, I feel like. I think it's only 6% too. So it's not like it's like a extremely heavy IPA. So it's nice, refreshing, springy, and I enjoyed it. How about you?
Yeah, you hit the hammer on the nail there. I thought I've had the No Pumpkin, No Santa, but I guess it's just me living vicariously through you and, assuming I did it because I heard about it a billion times from you and I could have swore I had it, but I guess not. So this is my first foray into their No series, even though we have had a Sloop on here a billion times. And I will say the same thing that I say with every Sloop Night review here. They don't really do enough to differentiate between what's what. And they don't really tell you either, like, what makes it different from their other ones. But luckily enough, their NIPAs are pretty damn good to begin with. So just like the rest of them, this one also is pretty damn good. Juicy, it's nice and citrusy, got a nice like orangey zestness to it, you know, the slight hop bitterness at the end. Can looks delightful with a little leprechaun and his, you know, stein of beer and a rainbow and some birds flying and shamrocks and the pot of gold. It's just wonderful. It's pretty good. I like it a lot. But again, like I said, if you like their NIPAs, then you're probably going to like most of them, because it's not like they really do too much to change it up.
Yeah, they're just extremely consistent. And I think that's what we said with pretty much every beer that we've had on the show from them. Very consistent, very good beers. But also, you know, they're not like anything that is really going to surprise. You know what you're getting. You know what it is, and they just do it really well. So, but in this case, you're technically celebrating the holiday season. So it's fun to do that. All right, let's get into Leprechaun Origins. I'll start out by saying, when watching this movie, this is the first time I've seen it. It's the first time you've seen it. Neither of us, like, for whatever reason, I, you know, never went out of my way to see the WWE Studios version. Back when it came out in 2014. But when I was watching, I was basically thinking like, man, this movie is really hard to find words to say anything about it. And I think that pretty much, you know, gets us started talking about this movie, because Leprechaun Origins is not what I would call an awful movie. It's not something that like, you watch and you're immediately like, wow, this is poorly put together. You know, the acting is terrible. I've seen some really bad low budget movies, very, you know, like movies that are really DIY. And this is not one of them. It is a studio movie. It does have a budget to it. It has a low budget, but it has a budget. And it's not like, no one here is like putting in a terrible performance or doing a bad job. The editing is not awful. The locations and the gore and all the special effects, it's not terrible, but at the same time, I feel like the movie just leaves you thinking, huh, well, that was a movie, wasn't particularly good, and it wasn't horrible. And I think probably that's the worst thing about the movie, is to be so undefined, so unimaginative and really bland that you literally come away from it with like no opinion whatsoever about it. You're just like, yeah, I watched it. I'm going to forget about it in 20 minutes, but I watched it. I don't know. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I am very, very curious who this movie was made for, because it's so low budget, so low effort, so poorly put together. I don't understand how this got greenlit. Like, where was Lionsgate seeing the money?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where were they like, oh, on the margins, we can make, you know, this amount of money here. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't get it, because also, you're right. This film's biggest sin is that it's like 5% competently made. It's not like a poorly made film, but it's, you know, low budget, low effort. Just get it out to market to capitalize. The Wikipedia doesn't have the budget for it, so I'm not sure what the budget was for it. So, I mean, it probably, you know, was just basically just throw it out there and we'll make something off of it because it's so goddamn cheap. But because it is so kind of rote, pedantic, it doesn't have anything genuinely awe-inspiring or terrible about it. It's just just a drudge to get through. It's an hour and 28 minute film, and I took like 2 half-hour breaks because I was just like, oh my god, this is like nothing's happening. Oh my god, nothing's happening again. So, I mean, this was rough. And it probably didn't help either that I've been dreading like watching like another Leprechaun film. Like it's like Silent Night, Deadly Night territory. Like by the fourth one, it's like, all right, you know what? This isn't fun anymore. There's no fun to be had here. This is just fucking straight up misery.
Yeah, I mean, I guess like what I was getting at is like, you know, it's something that you watch and you really don't have. It doesn't really provide any value, because what I was saying when I got done with it is like basically this movie has a formula to it that you would see in pretty much any 2000s to 2010s direct-to-video slasher movie that you can think of. It's literally so generic that it is hard to even find any, you know, interest in it, because it's literally, so you could pretty much swap out any element to this movie for something different and it would still be a movie, and it would be a movie that you know. So like in this case, our main character is just like four kids, basically. They're like 20 somethings, they're ready to go on to their master's degrees.
Of course one's going to Harvard.
Yes, one's going to Harvard, the other would like to go to Berkeley. and basically they are going backpacking through Ireland, and the one girl, Sophie, she's really interested in history, and that's why she was planning on going to Berkeley, and she wanted to apparently learn about Irish history for some reason, you know, like the kids do. And so she's going to Ireland. They do a backpacking trip through Ireland. Sounds like they haven't really been there that long when we meet them. And so that's pretty much the setup, is like these four kids backpacking. They don't really know the area. They're in Ireland, although we're in British Columbia technically. Film makes a pretty big deal about showing all the rolling green meadows and prairies and things like that. And turns out later on, oh yeah, that's Canada for you. But you know, so the setup is extremely generic. Like you've heard it before, you know what, you've seen it in every single slasher movie you could think of. And then the idea is basically get them alone somewhere. So they go to stay at this like fucking cabin for no reason, really, is like completely slapdashed in here to get them to stay at this place for whatever reason. They meet a friendly Irish guy in the pub, Hamish, played by Canadian Gary Chalk. And he tells them, hey, you should go stay in this cabin. It's really nice. It's like out in the middle of nowhere. You'll not be bothered. You might as well come stay here and see this fucking rock that we have that's historical.
Nice.
And, Yeah.
So that's a nice Scots name, too. Hamish.
And, you know, like that whole, the whole setup itself, like, okay, so you could replace that with literally anything else. Could be anywhere. This could be the equivalent of a Hallmark Christmas movie where you basically swap out location, swap out job title, swap out monster, and you've got yourself a different movie. Because this could have been Halloween Hobgoblin instead of Leprechaun Origins, and it would be exactly the same movie. You really don't need anything different. And even the leprechaun itself, the actual monster, the creature, doesn't even look like a leprechaun. Like, to me, it's not reminiscent of any, like, lore of a leprechaun.
It's more like a mole. Like, it's like a mole man.
Yeah, it just looks like some sort of
generic mole man.
Yeah, some sort of monster. Nothing defining about it. It just...
And not only that, the fact that this time, because it's WWE Studios, we got to have one of our wrestlers in there. So fucking Hornswoggle himself, Dylan Postel, is Leprechaun. You wouldn't fucking know. It looks like CGI the entire time. The 5 seconds that he's on screen that you can actually, you know, see him.
Right. Because like the Leprechaun itself is often shot in like an extremely annoying, fuzzy, blurry, like the cameraman forgot to zoom in sort of thing, where you can't see anything. And this movie does have that problem of pretty much every single scene, you can't see shit. You literally don't know what's happening on screen. It's fucking dark as hell. You can't see any defining features of a person. It's just like people running through woods or people running in a dark cabin. It has that problem too, but for the creature itself, the leprechaun, there's really nothing defining about it to say, like, yes, that's a leprechaun. Or even, yes, it looks like that is sort of, like, related to the leprechaun of the series. It really has no... You could have called it anything. You could have called it Swamp Monster of Ireland, or, like, Bog Monster, or fucking, you know, Paddy Marsh's Monster, whatever you want to call it. It could have been anything, but it doesn't really resemble a leprechaun. So I think like that immediately is the most standout thing about this movie. It doesn't seem like it's from a series. You know, it doesn't have a leprechaun, and it has the most generic script and writing that you can ever think of. Like it, and if you think about a slasher movie that you've seen that's super generic, this movie probably has all of it. But not only that, it has like probably one of the most annoying subtext elements to it, too, is like the whole idea that Sophie, who is planning on not going to Berkeley because she's going to follow her boyfriend, Ben, who's going to Harvard. So she's going to go to Boston, too. Throughout the movie, they're kind of like trading barbs. They're like upset with each other because Ben obviously doesn't want her to go, and she wants to go, and she's wondering why he doesn't want her to go. And they just like are trading looks, and she gets naked. She's like, how can you, or not naked, because this movie has no nudity, which is another negative about the movie. But she gets into
you get close.
Yeah, she gets into her underwear and says, like, how can you pass up all this? And he's like, I can. Basically, he's like fucking reading a book. He's like, yeah, nah, it's no problem. The idea here is that like they're upset with each other. Does he really love her? And then later on, during when they're being chased by the murderous leprechaun, she's like, why didn't you stop for me? Why didn't you come back for me? And he's like, I don't know. I was trying to save myself, basically, get to the truck. Like that whole idea of this is really like nonsensically stupid and doesn't really even add any sort of characterization to the movie, because you do not care about these characters. They literally are as one note as you can get, to the point where the film has to drop in that exposition at the beginning of the movie to even make you know anything about them. That's all about all you get for them, except for the fact that they apparently enjoy a nice Guinness pint or whatever they're drinking there. Nice black stout.
I don't even love how they enter the pub and they're like, I'll take a pint. And they're like, a pint.
The one when they entered the pub is that guy in the background just holding up his beer, toasting them as they walk in. Like, for there's just an extra in the back. I don't know if you caught that. He's just like holding up his beer to them as they walk in. They can't even see him.
Again, this movie's low rent straw dogs. It's not set in it's not set in Cornish, you know. It's set in Ireland. Oh, they don't like outsiders either. And they hate this newfangled new stuff. But instead of them taking care of the locals on their own with guns and being threatening and menacing, they have a fucking magical leprechaun. That's not magical nor leprechaun.
And I guess.
And again, it does turn into a home survival like defense film. So you know what? You're wrong, Ryan. This movie does have a lot to do with Straw Dogs. It's only missing Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, it's got a lot. It's missing a lot. But yeah, it's funny too, because this movie is called Leprechaun Origins, but do you really feel like it has any origin at all to it?
Absolutely not. No, they don't do a damn thing to make it like to tie it into the rest of the films. Like, I think maybe because it's supposed to be its own thing, like, and start anew. But I mean, to call it Origins is just silly.
Yeah, there's no origin to it. Doesn't show like Leprechaun becoming a leprechaun or anything like that. And the only thing that you really get is some backstory about these villagers who are like, yeah, we took his gold and now we feed people to him every now and then as a penance for taking his gold. And the leprechaun's just like, okay, it's a fair trade. Instead of murdering them and taking his gold back, like, you know, in every other leprechaun movie, he's just like, if you supply me bodies, we're good. You can have my gold for as long as you want it. It's a dumb idea. It doesn't really make any sense. Doesn't make any logical sense. I don't know. That's pretty much all I have to say about that. Is the idea and the origin of the leprechaun itself are pretty poorly done in this movie. And not only that, but like, it's extremely apparent, like, right away that this guy is talking them into it to, like, you know, shop them off to the leprechaun. So I just felt like that was, it's, you know, that may be one thing that's trying to get out of like that generic slasher element, but it's not even done well here either, because it doesn't really make any sense. And the whole presence of gold is really not even a thing in this movie. It's just they say that they've had gold and they talk about it in exposition, but it's not really even shown here. So even that element of the leprechaun is fucked up. What do you think about the gore effects in this movie?
Awful. They're like not, I mean, one, they're not great, but they are also rarely used. Mm-hmm. And it's
really only got what, four characters that it can kill off. And then there's the couple of villagers that it shows here and there.
So
I think that,
not impressed.
I think partially probably part of the problem is like you can't fucking see it. Anytime the leprechaun attacks or anything, the camera's going all willy-nilly like somebody kicked the tripod. You know, you can't see anything. It's just everything is dark. You can't tell. It's just, I don't know. That's part of the problem. I felt like the, you know, like when the leprechaun's beheaded at the end, like that's not bad. Is actually like kind of felt like grimy and kind of felt like squishy and stuff like that. So I like that part of it. But yeah, other than that, I think like the film, this just doesn't do a good job of showcasing what it has. If the gore is good, we can't even tell. We don't even know. And the part of the problem is the body count. There's just a low body count altogether. You got four people you don't care about. You got Hamish, who's wearing his Newsies cap in the background saying, kill them. Yeah. And then you've got Sean, who's like, Dad, you always make me do the bad stuff. I don't want to do the bad stuff anymore. It's just not a interesting dynamic. How about the film's length, 75 minutes?
Well, you lied there for a second.
75 minutes of actual plot, story movie itself. There are 15 minutes, no lie, 15 minutes of credits on this movie. And the credits are like two credits per screen, because it's not like you get a rolling credits or anything like that. It's literally like a screen, like here's the supervising director. Here's the, you know, executive to the executive producer. And it takes 15 minutes of that rolling alongside them shooting like random shit from like a basement. Like, here's a rope in sepia. You know, I don't really understand the credits at all. It seems like Lionsgate asked for a 90-minute movie. They didn't have it. Thankfully, I would add, for any viewers, you know, it's probably a blessing that we didn't get any more movie. And they basically supplemented with 15 minutes of credits because that's all they had. I don't know. I think 75 minutes is a good span for this movie, I guess. You know, like, I think it's a blessing that that's all we get, because there's really, it's, again, the 75 minutes of movie shows there's fucking nothing happening in this movie. There's just no interesting element to it whatsoever, in my opinion.
No, you're not wrong. It's a hard episode for me to really even, like, talk about, because, again, like, I was so checked out. Like, it's just, like, nothing was interesting. It was just one dull, boring, meandering, nonsensical film.
Mm-hmm. There's just, it's just not interesting. Like, I guess the only interesting elements to it are the fact that we have this Irish movie. It's not set in Ireland. Doesn't really have Irish performers. And it's a WWE Studios movie. So they don't. I don't know.
I literally think the biggest. Most damning thing is the fact that what originally made. I'm sorry, I'm a little distracted because there's
Leprechaun?
Fucking, like, no sirens going on outside. Oh. But what made Leprechaun special was its over-the-top comedy and, like, hey, you know how, like, Freddy started becoming smartass and, like, Dream Warriors? That's what we're going to do nonstop and turn 10. And they stripped it from this. Mm-hmm. So any character and gleaming thing that the five people that enjoy this franchise got out of this franchise, totally gone. And I think also what's another damning thing about this film is it's a film from 2014 that feels like it was shot in 2006 and sat in the vault for 8 years. Because by God, is this a fucking mid-2000s slasher film to a T. Mm-hmm. From like the aesthetics, how it looks, how it kind of feels, like how it's like, oh, we're being gritty and, you know, realistic. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, I agree. It definitely feels very 2000s-esque. I don't know. It just misses the mark entirely. But the thing is, this movie has such a low rating. Everywhere you look, like, it's got 3.2 on IMDb. On Letterboxd, it has like a 1.7 or something like that. It's not even that bad in that sense. Like, I guess when you see like that sort of rating, you're thinking like, wow, this is a really shitty movie. And it's not poorly made or anything like that. It's just like, when you watch it, there's just nothing interesting about it, which definitely brings you down in the rating scale, because you're just like, are so disinterested. Like you said, you're checking out. There's nothing about it. You could literally watch, you could be on your phone watching a different movie while you're watching this movie and not miss a thing, because it's so expected. Everything about it is just, you know, not even surprising whatsoever. So I think that's the biggest issue that I could find with it. And like, I think that when you come into it, like, you're expecting a much worse movie than it is. So when it's like okay, it's kind of surprising, but at the same time, like, it just doesn't hold your attention. What do you think about, like, is Hornswoggle, like, I think you said, he's not even really noticeable or anything, so it's not even necessary to have
him.
No,
so, like, again, like, it's kind of like, and I think kind of by, see, I wasn't watching, I didn't go back into wrestling until, like, 2014 is when I really got back into wrestling again. he was kind of like not even a thing really by that point. He's more of like a late 2000s, like, character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I don't know.
He was Hornswoggle, the little leprechaun, mini me running around, who ended up being Vince McMahon's bastard child, which, with the recent stuff about Vince, not surprising, but, by 2014, it's not like he was really doing anything. He would maybe pop up every now and then, and, that was it. And him being the anonymous Raw general manager, that's about it, but, But it's not like, it's not like he does anything. There's no, for this leprechaun, construct, there's no character to him. There's no creativity. There's no, anything. Again, he's just a mole person, a giant mole rat running around.
I mean, let's face it. Nowadays, we would just use CGI for that.
Which half the time it looks like it doesn't even look like it's a suit or anything. It looks like CGI, like a very poorly done, CGI. So, I don't know.
Well, I think that's all we got. This doesn't spark St. Paddy's Day fun with this movie. But I guess the only thing we could say is, so out of a scale of 0 to 10 beers drank where you can't perform during sex, what would you give?
He was passed Origins? Out.
He passed right out. She's literally on top of him, taking off her shirt. Yeah. And she's like, what the fuck is that guy's name too? Ian or something like that?
Who knows? I don't remember anyone's name.
David?
Outside of Hamish and Sean, I don't remember anybody's fucking name.
David?
I give it a 3.5. This film is incredibly boring. For an hour and 15 minutes, and you're right, there was 15 minutes of credits I did not sit through.
I put them on 2x because I wanted to see if there was anything. I think that happened.
Once you said there wasn't, nope, wasn't sitting.
You're right. I was thinking like, oh, there's a secret fucking 5-minute end scene or something, to set up the rest of the Leprechaun franchise. But no, just fucking books.
It's just, this is a horribly dull movie. There's. Again, it's not like it's a poorly made film. Like, it's shot, decently, looks fine, The lighting's an issue for half of it because it's too dark and can't really see what's going on, especially when you have a nice, day like we had today where the sun was gleaming through every fucking window in my apartment. Everyone's boring. The story's very one note and just boring. Everything's boring about this film. There's no creativity. There's nothing fun here. Nothing exciting. Nothing to get you like engaged in what's going. The gore is nonsense. There's no comedy to be had. The one fucking line at the end of the movie, like "fuck you, Lucky Charms," is like the most like you just played Gears of War, and that's a badass line. The acting all around is god-awful. The effects are terrible. Because there's only like 3 people in the film, it's not like there's a body count to be found with. This is a terribly boring, pedantic film that is a disaster because it's so goddamn pale and boring. If it was comically bad, it would have entertainment. It's not. It's just feels like film students who got money and made their shitty little film for the first time. I don't know why this film was made. It has no market. The Leprechaun brand isn't in here at all. No comedy, no Rourke Davis, no smart aleckiness, no clever kills, nothing clever with the Leprechaun. It's just a boring ass mid-2000s style slasher film. 3.5 stars. I pray to God to never, ever have to think about this film ever again.
Think you will. Honestly, I think it's going to be gone by tomorrow.
And again, like, it's not like it's a incompetently actually made film. It's just an incompetently thought about production. So 3.5 stars.
I regret you making us do this.
Seems like pretty much every holiday episode is like that. just here to bring your holidays down, except for the John Saxon Yule log. That really buoyed your Christmas spirit.
Yes, it did. I was running around like Scrooge, like, it's Christmas! It's Christmas!
I'll have to do a longer volume 2 next year. But I would give this... I'm going to give it a 4 out of 10. So I think, like I said, structurally, filmically, this is not a bad film in the sense that, like, it's put together, it's got actors, it's, you know, it's got obviously got some sort of budget, and it has a serviceable script. So it's definitely watchable. The problem is that it's, as you said, fucking terribly boring. It really has no, I guess it's soulless, really, is what I want to say. It has no...
Thank you.
Yeah, it literally has nothing to it that makes it remotely interesting because it is so generic. Like I said, you could swap out literally any part of this movie, put something else in, you wouldn't be missing a thing. And I will say, too, that I worked through this movie and I was like half watching it and I didn't miss anything. I literally caught everything that I needed to see about this movie. It really is that disinteresting that you really don't need to even be watching it. And it really has, like I said, it has nothing to do with Leprechaun at all. The Leprechaun itself doesn't even look like a leprechaun. Doesn't seem like anything. The lore wise for Ireland's probably ashamed. Ireland's probably written this movie off. For one thing, it's fucking set. It's shot in Canada and has really no Irish actors. And they're probably saying, like, yeah, don't fucking come here, tourists. Like, well, you know, no one's going to treat you to a nice pub style sit down with darts like they do in this movie. They're going to say, get the fuck out of here. Fuck out of our bar. Yeah, it's just overall just a really boring movie that has no. It has really no reason to be here. Nothing whatsoever. And it makes sense that it didn't like spark any Leprechaun revival because there's nothing to be had here. Hornswoggle is really not even utilized, so you wouldn't, could have been anything. It could have been a dog. Could have fucking put a dog in that care, you know, basically shot a dog running around half the time because it's so blurry and dark, you can't see anything anyway. So it's not a horrible movie, but it also has no so bad it's good qualities to it or anything like that. So 4 out of 10, you probably don't want to watch this movie just because it will be a waste of 75 minutes. So,
and now I put on the Yule log to remind me of good times.
Go. Yeah. And happy St. Patrick's Day, everybody. Sorry for the shitty the movie and review that we did, but
someone's going to be listening to this at home and be like, what the fuck?
I know they're going to be like, Leprechaun Origins is my favorite movie.
We literally just had a unprecedented streak of good movies. Like, we did The Iron Claw, mm-hmm. We did Django, we did There Will Be Blood, Foxy Brown, Starship Troopers. And now you bring us this turd. Oh, wait, I forgot. All the Schubert and Gifts films were priceless gems because Mommy Lacey Chabert brings nothing but gifts. And Thanksgiving was garbage. So, I mean, but Mean Girls right before that. So, like, since November, we've been reviewing almost nothing but gold. So.
It's true.
Keep that in mind.
It brings it down. Brings the average down.
Just for a reminder, how close to 300 are we now?
We've got about 17 episodes, I think. To 300. And then are we doing 300?
No, we're not doing that.
I actually have never seen 300.
You consider yourself lucky. I had to argue with people in college who were fucking idiots saying that 300 was either A, the greatest film of all time, or B, the highest grossing film of all time. One is subjective, one is not. Titanic at the time was the highest grossing film of all time. Yet they were like, no, 300 is the highest grossing greatest film ever made.
Wow.
Yeah. You know what? Do you want to go through horrible, just do Zack Snyder 2 months?
Whew.
And we do nothing but...
That'd be a rough one.
Sucker punch and...
And we cap it all off with the 3-hour Justice League cut that you still haven't seen?
You mean 5 hours? It's like 5 hours.
Is it like, I've seen it. It was, it's like 4 hours or something.
Yeah, no, it's like, no, it's like four. You're right. Mm. No.
Yeah, I've seen it. I watched it. I sat through it.
Why?
Because I wanted to see.
There's nothing
I
different.
Wanted to see the Vision.
You wanted to see Jesse Eisenberg as
the unbridled Vision of Zack Snyder. Yeah. No, I mean,
the good news is by the time the Batman 2 comes out, Robert Pattinson will be good and dead. So
I know. Yeah, people were saying I didn't realize this, but he'll be 40 when that comes out. Be a fucking old man.
How is it gonna be 6 years for the Batman 2? I didn't read the article. I just saw that like Batman 2 delayed till 2026. It's like how? Like, what is Warner Brothers doing? At this point, they can make just nothing but dog shit Batman films, but idiots will still be running out there to be like, Batman, I gotta watch it. You still make money on that, no matter how much you know. Hell, the Batman is literally a 3-hour fucking noir detective film. But yet, you know, still good. They did it somehow by the grace of God.
I know. I still want to do Man of Web so we can see those Sydney Sweeney.
Oh, I heard that. I heard her tits. I heard Sydney Sweeney's titties ruined wokeism. There was like articles in the Blaze or something about how her boobs single-handedly on SNL destroyed wokeism.
I saw that.
Because everybody knows that white blonde lady with big titties can't get a job these days. It's just impossible.
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing next. What are we doing next? Are we
something?
Are we in a new Asteroid City?
If you want to.
Yeah, that'd be kind of nice.
I mean, we do our yearly Wes Anderson film.
Sure. And
Since I bought it like months ago, I still haven't watched it.
Or should we do the Wes Anderson short, which won at the Oscars the other day?
Well, you can't do a full episode on it unless you want to. You know what? Little,
like bonus 15-minute episode or something.
You know what? Let's revisit the Darjeeling Limited.
Really? Catch a train. You know what? Instead of beer, we're doing Darjeeling tea.
No. You know, it's funny because I was looking at like the looking at the wiki like a couple of weeks ago. I was like, runtime is only 91 minutes. Like, one, that's one of the shorter films. And two, it sure as shit didn't feel like it was only 90 minutes long.
I know.
But yeah, yeah. I think Asteroid City is a good choice.
Okay. Yeah, we'll do that. That'd be fun. I'm thinking it should be a treat to watch. So especially after Leprechaun Origins. So you'll definitely want to catch it. Want to listen to that episode? So
we're doing our yearly Wes Anderson review. We've done Grand Budapest, mm-hmm. French Dispatch.
Yep.
Wait. So that's two. Never mind. Oh, yeah. Life Aquatic.
Life Aquatic. Yeah, we did that one too. Yeah. So get that in.
But we did that a long time ago for Jeff Goldblum. I
sure did.
Yeah. One of our, you know what? Maybe that's something we need to return to soon.
Ooh, Jeff Goldblum.
A Jeff Goldblum month.
I mean, we even did Cats and Dogs. So,
you know, that was that was a great choice by me.
We scrounged around for that one.
That was not scrounging around. I saw that in theaters. Thank you very much.
I mean, if we're going to do that, we might as well just do That Darn Cat at some point, too.
You know what? I saw that in theaters, too. And you know what? I don't need you spitting on the good name of Christina Ricci. Thank you very much. That's like an early crush.
I know. What do you mean early? You could still be your crush.
Is she alive?
Christ, yeah. Nice little alt crush for you. All right. So if you want to catch our episode on Asteroid City, you should definitely subscribe to us on any podcast app that you could think of.
So we're doing Casper then next, right?
Ooh, Casper, yeah. make us cry at the end there. It's been a really long time since I've seen Casper, by the way.
I've seen that movie like a billion times.
Quite a long time. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, home base at Spotify, pretty much any podcast. We're right there with Joe Rogan. Little bit less of a budget than Joe Rogan gets, but we're there with him.
Come on, Spotify, where's our money?
Exactly. We're still negotiating the contract. But yeah, we're there, so subscribe to us and leave us a nice review. Appreciate that. We're on Facebook and Twitter. You can search for us on there, Blood and Black Rum Podcast. And we have an email address at bloodandblackrumpodcast@gmail.com, or you can write to us, let us know what you like, what you don't like, what movies you want us to watch, and we'll definitely consider it. And you can donate to us on our Patreon page or at Spotify, and we'll put all that money back towards beer, so we appreciate that in advance. Thanks for listening to our episode where we really tried to get through Leprechaun Origins the best we could. Appreciate you sticking around for that. And hope you join us again next time for Asteroid City. Until then,
take care.